This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's Caroline and Ezra on the Evening Edition, 6:41 p.m. We're going to take a look at our next story here. Now, Malaysia has come in at 145th out of 180 countries. This is from the 2018 World Press Freedom Index. We fell one rank from last year.
Yep, that's right. So our score, 47.41, worsened from last year with an increase of 0.52. But essentially what that means, it's a higher score, which indicates deteriorating press freedom. So what they're saying is several proposed amendments would reinforce the already draconian Official Secrets Act 1972, also the Communications and Multimedia Act 1998, posing additional threats to our media freedom, especially to cover the 2018 general election.
Right, and so the report reads how bloggers are closely monitored by the authorities, who can prosecute them for spreading quote-unquote false news, a euphemism for criticism of the government. And so this index is an annual global overview of press freedom compiled by the international watchdog group Reporters Without Borders. 145, 144. It'd be nice one day if, you know, we'd go closer towards the top 100. You know what I mean?
I mean, we talked about this last year, the year before, again, the year before. Essentially, it's never been a ranking that we've been particularly proud of or successful at, depending on your point of view. What's quite interesting is that it attributes China's media control model, saying that that is what is increasing its influence in Asia-Pacific countries, including Malaysia. So our current ranking falls below countries like Thailand, Myanmar, India, Pakistan, Venezuela, and Cambodia. Mm-hmm. However, we are ahead of Bangladesh, Mexico, Russia, Vietnam, and Singapore.
Well, rooted at the bottom, which is about 40-odd places down, China, Syria, Turkmenistan, North Korea, their rankings remain unchanged when it comes to press freedom. We're going to hear from the assistant professor of media and communications at University of Nottingham, Malaysia, Gayatri Venkateswaran. Gayatri, thank you very much for joining us on the Evening Edition. As mentioned, dropping a rank in the Press Freedom Index. Are you surprised by this at all, or was this written on the wall for some time now?
So, you know, we have we haven't moved out of the last or the lowest percentile in a long, long time. And as someone who's been monitoring press freedom, not just for Malaysia, but in the region, we should actually be very worried that we have not moved up in terms of our ranks. So to answer your question, no, it's not surprising given the circumstances and the context in which we have seen the media be restricted or the environment. But it is something that we ought to be worried about because I think we've seen other countries that have had some with similar political, economic background as Malaysia sort of, you know, going up. But we have not moved at all. So, you know, whether or not we move one step up or down is really not the point. The point being that we have yet to budge from that lowest segment, you know, of countries that have poor press freedom records. So I think that given some of the weaknesses in terms of the use of a ranking, because, you know, sometimes it's because the other countries have gone down or gone up that we may be affected. But whatever that shortcomings as part of a methodology, the general idea is that Malaysia has a very poor record when it comes to press freedom, and we don't see the government taking this seriously and also sidestepping the fact that we have legislative and also ownership structures that continue to control the media and also the environment in which people can access the media.
Right. I guess you're spot on in saying that we're not budging. And, you know, the recently passed anti-fake news law, you could consider that the nail in the coffin that has resulted in us sort of hovering in this bottom segment as well.
Yeah, so the report does actually point to the law, the anti-fake news law that has just been passed, and also how it can be used against, you know, basically media that's publishing content. So for sure, this is something that has caused a lot of concerns within civil society and the media, that this is yet another layer of legislative control. But, you know, I think that the nail in the coffin should have been in 1963 already, when, you know, we had political parties taking over the newspapers like UMNO, or even before that, in terms of how, despite independence, we continue to have laws that stifle expression, criminalizes expression. And instead of actually gradually reforming and removing these laws, we see that the government that has been in power for 60 years now have continued to amend the law and build in more controls and restrictions. So I think the nail in the we passed that already, you know, in that sense. We are certainly operating in an environment where we lack access to information and also the freedoms that media ought to have in doing their job. So the anti-fake news law, rightfully pointed out by the Reporters Without Borders as one of the issues, demonstrates the fact that the government that has, you know, been used to not being held accountable uses more legislative controls on the media.
Well, Gayatri, the report says that the China media control model, I guess, you know, everything from the suppression of independent voices, having a dominant government control mass media, this kind of model has actually been influencing other countries within the Asia Pacific. Why do you think that is?
So this is where I'm sort of like, you know, I want to think through a little bit more about what RSF has said, because for me, there are a couple of issues here. One, it points to the weakness of this sort of Northwest-based model or kind of observation, yeah, in terms of how societies actually grapple with issues of domestic and foreign policy issues or controls. To me, one of the weaknesses is that the ranking lacks a kind of a historical or contextual analysis, which is why China, which is a flavor of the day, I would say, as a topic, you know, you can pretty much sell anything on, you know, using China in the title and get attention. I think it ignores the fact that China has been central to our both foreign policy as well as media issues for a long time, and not just in Malaysia, but definitely in the region. So I think to include China at this point, I think it's problematic because the ranking then has not looked at what we media monitors in the region have seen over the years, where through, say, diplomatic ties, through ownership, the kinds of influence to either promote propaganda or to actually restrict content in other countries has happened already. We've seen that happen in Malaysia, or any kinds of policies that's critical of China. In fact, we have seen media being told to tone down or take a position that is actually in support of China. And because this is an international ranking, it doesn't look at very localized context. Clearly within Southeast Asia, it is a site of this kind of relationship with China that I think maybe reinforces the idea that we are adopting Chinese models. We see it in the digital sphere. Mm-hmm. But it's a little bit more complex than that, I think.
Fair enough. Gayatri, thank you very much for joining us on the Evening Edition. That was Gayatri Venkateswaran, Assistant Professor in Media and Communications at the University of Nottingham, Malaysia, giving us her perspective on Malaysia's drop in the 2018 World Press Freedom Index to 145. We've got some music right now by Buddy Holly.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.